Let's go, let's go, let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle. I want to go odd. 5-51 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Go stack guts combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook. Breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the 7 route.
Next Sunday's game.
Get ready for the grapes check, too, okay? Because we'll get the bunch on 3rd and short. Even 51 grapes. Even 51 grapes.
And the rest of the NFL season.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast read over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Rook on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go, let's go.
They're back! The playoffs, that is, and the Patriots are in them, and we're here as well. Welcome back into the playbook, everybody, on Patriots.com radio. John Rook, Eric Scalavino from PFW is alongside, waiting on you. Pick up the phone, 855-PATS-500. Toll free, 855-PATS-500, or the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. This is what we work for all year long, that we wait for this moment. We wait to get to the playoffs because there is an entire generation of Patriots fans that believe that the National Football League playoffs are a birthright.
Yeah.
Right? When we start this year, and when we started this year, and people killed us for downplaying the Patriots, you know, picking low and saying they're only going to win 9 or 10 or 11 games or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. You know, and obviously we know it's an imperfect science. But when they were killing us for that, everybody, almost to a man or woman, said primarily, this is a playoff team. This team is a team that will win the division, which they did. But this is a team that will win that can compete, be in, win the Super Bowl.
I think we both said they would win the division, too.
We did. You said at 9-7, though, that you would be a little bit more difficult than we originally thought, that at 9-7 was the original prediction, then we upped it to 1, gave ourselves one game slack. So you went 10-6, I went 11-5, and they finished 12-4. Good for them, especially when you consider the plethora of injuries, which continued this week, and we'll get to that in a moment. But
And it all means nothing if they don't win the next three games.
That's where I was getting to. Thank you. That's exactly where I was going. How much is what can you already deem this year a success?
No.
And I don't think so, and I don't think there's a fan who's within earshot of us that would say that this year is a success if they lose this Saturday night to Indianapolis.
Nope. Seasons are only a success at this point for this franchise if they win a Super Bowl.
Is that fair to the franchise?
Yes.
Because of the expectation that has been built.
And what's still here? The head coach, the quarterback, the owner, the key things that you need to win a Super Bowl are in place. If those things weren't here, then it would be unfair. Yeah.
Realizing, of course, that this team has tried to make itself over, as we've talked about quite a bit over the course of the last year or two, especially this year with the transformation from aging to now, you know, youthful overall, and the fact that we got, what, 18 guys in this team now on this roster that have no playoff experience at all?
Oh, I don't even know.
I think that's the count.
Really?
I think that's the count.
Wow.
Which is a remarkable transformation in 2 years' time. So when you take that in consideration, is it still a birthright? Is it still to be expected that this team is in the playoffs?
Yes, because, look at the competition in your division. They should have won the division. No question.
Okay.
And they did. They took care of that business.
Mm-hmm.
They not only did, they got themselves a bye, one of the top two seeds. Like you said, good for them. That. In a way, that's a partial. I don't want to say success, but that's an achievement that I didn't expect them to have, that they got. So, yeah, good for them. I give them credit for that. Means nothing. It's a new season. You got to win 3 more games.
Oh no,
you got to win 3 more games. If you don't, not a successful season. Sorry.
So even getting to the Super Bowl is no longer
win.
You got to win it.
Yep.
Why is that? What turned? What changed? Because it used to be getting to the Super Bowl was a success. Winning the Super Bowl was gravy. Not anymore.
Because you didn't have those three things that I talked about. You didn't have a stable, respectable owner. You didn't have a competent coach. And you didn't have a Hall of Fame quarterback before. You know,
but
before then, just getting to the playoffs was an accomplishment. Getting to the Super Bowl, my God, you've really turned the corner.
But realizing, however, that the Hall of Fame quarterback doesn't have quite the targets that he's once had to throw to, realizing, of course, that the Hall of Fame coach sometimes does not make the proper or correct decisions in terms of personnel, or for that matter, on play calling out on the field, recognizing all of these things, we're still expecting.
Yeah, and also you're grading on a curve, too, because if you look around the league, the good teams aren't that great. The bad teams aren't that terrible. So,
which is exactly what the NFL has dialed up. The NFL has wanted this.
That's what they wanted, sure. And they've got it now. And so when you have elite talent at the position that I mentioned and at the head coaching position, you have an advantage over most teams. And so you should be expected to win more often than not and to be in the playoffs and to get to the Super Bowl more often than not. Certainly. Now, when Belichick's no longer here, when Brady's no longer here, you have to reassess your expectations and your priorities. Until then, that's what your expectation
is. Is that a fair expectation and a reasonable expectation of Belichick and Brady?
Yes.
Considering what they have to work with?
Still, yes, because, I'm grading on a curve.
Okay.
At the beginning of the season, I thought the Houston was going to be good. I thought Baltimore was going to be good. I thought Atlanta was going to be good. Those teams all sucked terribly. So if all those teams are good and a few other teams are better than I thought.
But doesn't that in the same realm, though, Eric, mean that the Patriots, had an extraordinarily good year because they avoided the pitfalls that took down some other pretty good franchises?
Yes. The advantage they have is their quarterback and their head coach. And their quarterback hasn't had his best year. It hasn't been a red-letter year for Tom Brady, certainly. He's had his problems, too, but he's still, with his problems, better than 90% of the other quarterbacks out there.
Mm-hmm. Be interested in your perspective on this. Number one, was it an expectation of yours, a fait accompli, that the Patriots would be in the playoffs? Number two, is Eric right in your estimation? Is this team a success without a Super Bowl victory? I mean, I think it'd be near unanimous that if the Patriots lost to the Colts this Saturday night, no one would look at the season as a success. Maybe a stepping stone, maybe a growing pain, but no one would look at it as, wow, backslap, backslap, great season, guys. Nobody would look at it that way. And that part I agree with. But does it take the Super Bowl? Does it take a Super Bowl victory for you to consider the Patriots successful? That's one thing that I got for you on the table today. 855-PATS-500, 855-PATS-500, Ace Ticket Hotline 508-298-0398. Now that we know that it is the Indianapolis Colts coming in, anybody charged up for it? Are you disappointed? Happy? Sad? Surprised? I think most everybody thought it would be, thought it would be Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. Maybe with an outside chance that it'd be Kansas City, but I don't really think anybody thought Indianapolis would be the team in here, and yet Indianapolis is the team that's in here.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts?
And you should be afraid.
Very afraid?
You should. I said this last week. I, for different reasons, was fearful of every opponent that potentially could have come here. I was fearful of Cincinnati because they've already beaten this team this year. I was fearful of Kansas City because of the dynamic weapons that they have on both sides of the ball, and as we saw against the Colts, they put up a lot of points, mm-hmm. and I think they would have provided a tough matchup for this team. And I fear the Colts because as a rookie, Andrew Luck came here and almost beat them last year. You know, for a while it looked like he was playing well and could have it ended up not being as close, but he put up a good fight last year as a rookie, and they're playing pretty good football right now. And I don't take this game for granted whatsoever. Some people think it's going to be a rollover. They're disappointed because it's not not the matchup they were looking for. But
what was the matchup we were looking for? Was it Cincinnati?
Maybe to get a little retribution for the
loss in the regular season?
Maybe. Or the Chiefs, because that was maybe more of a...
I don't look at this Colts game same way that we used to look at Colts games, because there's no Peyton Manning involved, right?
No, but Andrew Luck's not bad.
Oh, I understand that. I understand
there's
that.
There's no
but
rivalry
I'll tell you
there,
that
but he's
my
not
initial
bad.
Impression here is that I remember when the last time these two teams played a year ago, and the Patriots thrashed them here. And I'm wondering if fans feel the same way. I mean, it's different teams. Vastly different teams. The Patriots arguably are not as good as they were a year ago. Indianapolis arguably is much better than they were a year ago.
Yes. They've leveled.
They've leveled off, right?
The playing field a little bit, yeah. The way this team has played all year, put the Baltimore game aside, they've been competitive, close games with everybody. Why should you expect any different this week?
You shouldn't.
That's
for anybody, to think that this is more than a 10-point to 2-touchdown spread, I think you're off your rocker.
Yeah.
Because that is not the way this Patriot team has played all year long.
7.5?
I think it's 7.5, and I think that's high.
That's a lot, yeah.
That's a lot of points.
Yeah.
That's a lot of points. When you take everything into consideration, you're just not paying attention.
Yeah.
Honestly, if I'm not a betting guy, okay? I don't play the game, although, you know, as I pointed out several times, I think much to the chagrin of your PFW brethren, 12-4 ATS on the Patriots this year.
Yeah. Wow.
So,
pretty good.
And so, and I'll tell you right now, I don't like that 7.5 number. I don't like it.
I don't either. I think it's very high.
I do too. And that's just being conservative because the Patriots have played close to the vest all year long.
Mm.
So for anybody to think that it's going to be more than that, I think you're completely off your rocker. Mm. If you really believe the Patriots are going to win, then I wouldn't wager on the game, period. I wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole. I just wouldn't. Just because that's the nature of these New England Patriots.
Yeah.
And I think that's also the nature of a team that is relatively inexperienced because they don't know how to put the foot down on the jugular of the opponent. And this team, even if they do know how to do it, and you can make the argument that they don't, even though Tom Brady and Bill Belichick are at the controls, this team's too banged up. This team's too injured. And this team lost another piece of that. And again, I'll get to that in just a moment. The other issue that I have that I want to get to our listeners today, and those are fans who are following along, whether you're live or on the podcast a little bit later on, is the Colts signing Deion Branch.
Hmm.
Now, see, Eric's already, look, he's got that upside down frown thing going, and then it just turned down the other way. I have already heard from several Patriot fans, and I've seen, you know, in the Twitterverse as well, people calling Branch a traitor. That people are saying, Deion, how could you? That your legacy will be forever stained, especially if the Colts win this game on Saturday. And my thought is, are you out of your flipping minds?
Yeah.
Really? Traitor? After what he's meant to this team and a couple of Super Bowl wins and what he's meant to Tom, you know, Tom Brady's still good friends with Deion.
That's silly.
I would also suggest to you that if you're upset that Deion Branch is with the Colts, well, think about this for a moment. Number one, he hasn't played a lick of football all year. Okay? Not a minute. Hadn't been on anybody's roster all year long. And now all of a sudden you're in the, you know, second round of the playoffs and you get a job? Okay. So do you really think the Colts are going to put you out on the field when you haven't played all year? Or maybe are you going to go through practice and maybe are you going to, like, sit down and maybe give some insight to Chuck Pagano and some of those guys on the coaching staff there and talk about, you know, what tendencies Tom Brady might have in certain situations? What are you being paid for, number one? That's the first thing that I would ask. And number two, if Deion Branch really had gas left in the tank, considering all of the injuries that the Patriots have had this year, especially in the receiving corps, don't you think he'd be here before he'd be anywhere else?
Yes.
Okay.
I do.
Okay.
And I think anybody who thinks that he was brought in to give insight on the Patriots to Chuck Pagano and the Colts is kidding themselves. Because this is, as you said earlier, an entirely different team than last year's team. He knows nothing about what's going on here now, today.
Then why bring him in?
They needed a body at wide receiver. He lives in Indiana. He worked out for them about a month ago. He's a logical emergency choice. Emergency being the key word.
So
he hadn't played a lick of football, as you said.
Right, he hasn't.
He's there as a desperation body. If he sees the field, I'll be stunned.
I would agree with that.
If he's active, I'll be stunned.
I would agree with that one, too. But I can't imagine, though, that they won't ask him about his buddy Tom Brady.
Yeah, they'll ask him, but keep in mind, Chuck Pagano was the defensive coordinator with the Baltimore Colts.
Right.
The Baltimore Ravens. When they came here and won a nice playoff game.
A couple years ago.
Mm-hmm. Chuck Pagano doesn't need any insight on Tom Brady that Deion Branch can give him. It's foolish to think that that's why he's brought in, for that reason. what insights he going to bring that Chuck Pagano doesn't already know?
True. When you think about it, you ought to give Chuck Pagano a little more credit than that, right?
Yeah. They needed they're really desperate at wide receiver, apparently, so much so that they went with a guy who has been out of football and who happens to be in the neighborhood.
I'm not sure I understand the angst against Deion, however.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I think that it's ridiculous that you think he's going to contribute to a Colts victory over the Patriots.
If he never sees the field, never gets onto the field, and the Colts still win the game,
does nothing to tarnish any legacy.
It shouldn't, right?
Stupid. Idiotic.
I got that on the Twitterverse this morning, and I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Really?
People really, not all Patriots fans, but the foolish ones that make those comments, really think that any player who's ever come here should never play for anybody else ever again under any circumstances. And if he does, it's an act of treason.
Yeah.
That's just moronic. Get over it, please. Good Lord.
Well, my question to you is then, how do you look at Deion Branch's signing with the Colts? Happy for him? Sad? Mad at him? What do you think? Is it treason in your estimation?
It's as significant as the Patriots signing Reggie Dunn today.
Yeah, why don't we just...
And giving him one of Deion's old numbers here. So remember, Deion wore two different numbers
right,
when
he
was here.
He wore 83
and 84.
84 both.
Yeah.
And so he'll be 84.
Four. Reggie
right.
Dunn.
Yeah. I think it's too early to give somebody 83.
What? Oh my goodness.
What
in the world are those?
All together now.
It says open immediately, though. So I don't
perishable, know. Yeah.
Perishable.
What do I do?
I don't know.
Why did
get a knife and open it.
Fried turkeys.
That must be from our friend Steve and
wow.
Colleen.
Yeah.
Steve, if you're wondering, it looks like they're here.
They showed up. A couple of big boxes.
Wow, that's very generous of you. You didn't have to do that, but that's very generous. Nicely done. I'm now completely and totally flummoxed here. So.
Yeah, we were talking about
football.
We were talking about Reggie Dunn.
Reggie Dunn signing. Yes, a little early to give him 83.
I was really stunned today. We went out to practice and reported that Mankins was back, Alfonso Dennard was back, Dobson wasn't out there. So mostly good news on the injury front for the Patriots. They only had one guy missing, and oh by the way, they added a receiver, number 84, unknown. I said. Specified, we don't know who he is, but he's wearing number 84. Small guy. You wouldn't believe the deluge of responses on Twitter. Not just me, but some of my colleagues who are out there practice and tweeted basically the same information. Getting inundated with people wanting to know, was it Randy Moss? Was it Brandon Lloyd? Quentin Sims? Was it all these... really big, high-profile name receivers. It's like, we said unknown. If I saw
Randy Moss,
I would know who he was.
Love that.
Words mean things. The word unknown means we don't know who he is. And when the name Reggie Dunn came up, nobody knew who he was. He's been on 5 different teams this year as a rookie.
That's amazing, isn't it?
But
although he is a very good kick returner.
Supposedly.
Allegedly.
If he was, he wouldn't have been
in college.
5 different teams.
Right, yeah. Well, that's also true. It's also true. Didn't have a whole lot of success this year.
But, I mean, they were acting like we had just signed, Jerry Rice. I mean, it's just at this point in the year, when you're signing guys it's a body. It's meaningless.
But
absolutely meaningless. And people were just beside themselves.
You also sign somebody because A, you can, and B, if you lose another body, then you have to have a body to put in there.
Oh, absolutely. But I'm saying they were thinking that this was going to be a major impact signing. We said unknown.
Right. All right, so I'm wondering then on a couple of fronts. Number one, on the overall success or lack thereof of the team, is it going to take a win in the Super Bowl for you to consider this year a full success, an unequivocal success? That's number one. Number two, the signing of Deion Branch by the Indianapolis Colts and whether or not you feel like this tarnishes his legacy, whatever it may be, does it tarnish his legacy in a Patriots uniform? 855-PATS-500, the toll-free number. Of course, the email address, webradio@patriots.com. So you can hit us up email as well. And you can send us a note via Twitter if you like, at JR Broadcaster here on the program. Gets right there, John.Rook on Facebook. What's that? Do I want what? Yeah, momentarily. Yeah. Well, we need to look and see what's in the box. I mean, you know, it's kind of like, Monty, I'll take behind what's door number three. Or what's door number three? Or, in game show fashion, she said, Monty Hall, I'll take what's in the box. Right?
Oh.
Today, I think we might have to take what's in the box.
So
that would be
option,
the prize, right?
Really.
That's okay. Do we have behind the curtain? I don't know. All right, let's talk to Sean in Vancouver here. Sean, thanks for hanging in. You're in the playbook.
Hey, guys. Good to talk with you guys again. I wanted to mention one thing that I thought Kansas City didn't do very well in that game besides the injuries was the lack of coverage on T.Y. Hilton. Anyone who's watched the Patriots this morning knows that the Patriots are going to do what they can to get the best up with them. Where do you think the Colts will go to counteract that? What do you think will be the game plan if they can't get to T.Y. Hilton?
If they can't do what now? Because we didn't catch the last part of what you said.
Yeah, if T.Y. Hilton is not an option, if the Patriots take him away, where will the Colts go?
How will the Colts then beat the Patriots?
Right.
Running the football, maybe?
Well, I suppose that's probably a good question. But, I mean, yeah, you'd have to say they'd probably run the football, but...
Kobe Fleener's not a bad tight end, either.
I mean...
I find it hard to believe they're going to take away T.Y. Hilton.
I don't know that they'll completely take him out of it.
Not completely.
But I would suggest that... Yeah, I would suggest this is certainly an opportunity to see, you know, again, what kind of a shutdown corner Aqib Talib can be, and I would imagine you'll see his fair share of amount of time on Hilton this week.
But don't you think they'll roll coverage a bit to him as well? I think they maybe have McCourty double him a time.
Sure. Sure. I think they do that under almost every circumstance when you know you have a premier receiver that you've got to take out of the equation. And my guess would be that, yeah, would have to be part of the game plan, would be to, you know, limit, you know, Hilton's touches as best they can and make somebody else beat them.
I think so. I think on the other side of the ball, I think we'd like to see the Patriots continue to run the ball, especially in the red zone, set up play action and, you know, keep Brady secure and short pass. Pocket, so Matthew doesn't really get to him.
I would agree with that. And you know, I think this, I mentioned this to somebody earlier today. I think this game will probably be all about tempo and controlling that tempo and not trying to get into a racehorse type of game. I'm not so sure that that's a game the Patriots really want to get into. And because now that they have a newly found running game that, you know, that we know, you know, can be effective, why wouldn't they use that running game to try to set up the opportunity to throw the ball? I mean, you got to feel like you can pass for a little bit against this Colts secondary because, you know, it's been as maligned as the Patriots secondary has been all year long, if not more so. And then all of a sudden now you found an ability to run the ball as well. You're not going to give that up, especially if the conditions are poor on Sunday and
Saturday.
Or Saturday, Saturday night as it is. So, you know, it'll be nice and cold. So frankly,
well,
I'd love to see them use that run to set up the pass.
Actually, it's going to be high of 50, low of 40 Saturday with a 60% chance of rain.
So it could be rainy and just raw.
It could be just like the last game we played.
Which was rainy and raw. It was a little colder last game, but...
And a lot more rain than probably I would imagine was going to be falling on Saturday, but still... Could be a factor.
Yeah, sure it could be. And if there is, you know, if it's slick at all, then I think the Patriots fans should probably all be very thankful that they've, you know, got this bruiser of a back that's very hard to tackle under conditions like that.
Definitely. I didn't make any predictions at the beginning of the season. I'm impressed with what the Patriots have done so far. I mean, with all the adversity that they've faced and coming through, getting the bye and winning some tough games, you know, I don't know what's going to happen in the future, but right now I'm pretty happy with how they've done.
So this year, then, for you, Sean, is a success regardless of their reaching the Super Bowl.
Well, Well, I'm going to be disappointed, obviously, if they don't win the Super Bowl, as I am, you know, any year, even when they were terrible. You know, that's what you really want as a fan. You want your team to win the Super Bowl. But right now, looking at it from this point of view, I'm happy with the way they've come out. You know, won 12 games this season, and I think that's more than a lot of people anticipated, and it's definitely shown some high quality and the reason why the coach is happy with this team or seems happy with this team.
You're being way too magnanimous.
Okay.
You're being way too. You're telling. I guess basically what you're telling me then is that you're happy with the season.
So far, yeah.
Okay. So, does that still make it a success?
Well, I mean, it's so relative. I mean, is it a success? I guess, you know, I'm the only one who's going to say that. And I think, let's say they lose to Indianapolis on Saturday night, I'm going to be really, really disappointed. I'm going to be upset about that. But when I reflect back in the future, I think, you know what, they played some good games and they showed some really good signs. Now, if we can see this team have a little more fortune in terms of the injuries and build on what they have, you know, it will be a success in the future.
Okay, fair enough. How do you feel about Deion Branch?
Whatever. I mean, like Eric saying it, you know, you're just getting bodies at this point. If he had anything left, then he'd be with the Patriots this year. And the Patriots certainly could have used some wide receivers. So, you know, that they didn't feel he really was going to be of any help. And he probably won't even take the field. And I don't think he has much information that the Colts don't already know.
Well, I'd be very surprised if he took the field, especially as an active participant.
I'm just surprised he decided to resign. I thought all his comments last year were
that this was it.
That was it. I'm done. That's the only thing that surprises me is that he decided to.
Maybe he just. I doubt very seriously that he's doing it for the paycheck. What I would say is, even though you could certainly make that argument, I suppose, but my guess would be that this is all a part of his just wanting to be involved in football, and maybe he feels like this is an opportunity to do that.
Ring.
What's that?
I mean, maybe he wants another ring. A playoff team that's calling him, and there's always you never know what's going to happen.
Sure. Sure, that's true. And if the Patriots weren't calling, but the Colts were, why not?
Mm. Right. What else does he have to do? Was he broadcasting or anything?
I don't think so.
I don't believe so. You know, here's the other thing, sort of to go hand in hand with Deion Branch signing. You know, the last time the Colts have played here over the last few years since Adam Vinatieri left, there's been a smattering of boos for Vinatieri in the crowd, which I think are completely and totally unfounded.
That's so ridiculous.
It's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard, especially since he's the one that hand-delivered your very first Super Bowl to you and is the margin of victory, by the way, in the other two. Okay? So all I'm saying is, that one just, if Branch doesn't defy description, Vinatieri does. Well, you know, having any angst against him.
You see, that's something like Wes Welker, where he was a great player with the Patriots, and he left because of contract issues?
No, I don't think. Well, I just don't think the Patriots were willing to pay Adam what he was worth in the open marketplace, and that, I think that's pretty obvious because the Colts gave it to him, and he's had a very good career with the Colts after he left here.
I also think the Patriots thought Adam was on his way out.
They miscalculated a bit there.
Physically.
Yeah.
And he's ended up having some tremendous years.
He's had some very good years, although I don't think
how that happened.
Nobody is upset with Stephen Gostkowski.
No.
Nobody.
No.
He's had, you know, he's an all-pro kicker in his own right, and he's had that kind of year for this team. So, you know, I think the Patriots chose wisely, but they may have decided that, you know, Vinatieri was done a little bit too quickly. That's all. Just of an error in judgment.
I like the way Ghost has the kickoff a little bit more than Vinatieri. He's got a stronger leg.
True.
So that's helpful.
Yes.
There was a time where, you know, Vinatieri was franchised. I think it was 2 years in a row. And then he signed right away immediately with the Colts. And some people were thinking, well, he was upset with the Patriots for franchising, and that's why he went to the Colts right away.
Right, right. Okay. Sean, good stuff, my man.
All right, always great talking to you guys.
Thanks.
It's funny. Thanks, Sean. Just as we're saying that, there's highlights of Adam Vinatieri kicking the game winner in Super Bowl 31.
Oh, no, that's is that 30? No, that's
not 31. 30, I'm sorry,
36.
36, yeah. Sorry.
36, 36, right, overall, yeah. Oh, look at there. Oh, there's the hit on Drew Bledsoe, yeah, too. How about that? That's what got Tom Brady his start.
Yeah.
Right there. All right, Big Al in Valdosta, Georgia. Hello, Big Al.
Hey, fellas, listen, let's start a rumor that Deion Branch is actually a double agent acting on behalf of the Kraft family.
Oh,
he's like Mata Hari. He's going to plant a bunch of false information over there, and that's going to make the difference this weekend.
Well, I don't know about that either, but okay, that's probably as good a reason as any, Al.
Well, listen, we've had this discussion before, John, but as far as success in the National, I've always had one standard that predates Brady, predates Belichick, as far as how do you define success, for me, do you make the playoffs or don't you? If you make the playoffs, you've had a successful season, is the way I look at it.
So now, have the Cincinnati Bengals been successful for the past 12 years?
Al.
What's that?
Al, have the Cincinnati Bengals been successful the past 12 years?
Yes, they have. Yeah.
Really?
They made the playoffs 3 straight years. And if you compare that, they never did that before.
They might as well not have made the playoffs. They might as well not have made the playoffs given the results that
they've
had.
Well, if you're a Cincinnati Bengals fan and you have that opinion, God bless. I'm saying
I think most of those fans did because they had real trouble selling out their playoff game because I think against San Diego because I think they realized what was coming, another one and done. Yeah.
God bless. They've had 3 straight successful seasons in my dictionary definition of success.
Obviously, success is a relative term.
Opinion,
clearly.
That's fine.
Okay.
That you can still be disappointed, like that last caller said. I thought the 1976 Patriots season was a success. But we went to Oakland and kind of got jobbed on that Ray Hamilton thing. And, yeah, I'm disappointed. But that doesn't mean the season isn't still a success, at least the way I define it. I think you make the playoffs, you have a successful season. After that, it's kind of gravy at that point.
Okay.
But we were certainly set up. I think this was good that we've got the Colts. I think we can beat them. And San Diego going to Denver, I think, is a huge break because I think San Diego can pull off that upset. I heard a stat the other day, which I find fascinating, and that is the last 8 times in the playoffs in both conferences, the last 8 times that the number 6 has played at the number 1 at this stage of the playoffs, the number 6 team is 6-2.
I heard that same. I actually heard that same number. Yeah, that's right.
Yep. Yeah. And this year, both conferences have a 6-1 matchup. Same over in the NFC.
Right.
6-1. And, of course, you got San Diego at Denver.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of stands to reason when you think about it. I think, you got all good teams, obviously, in the postseason. At least they're, they've had successful seasons. I think they have.
Sure.
And plus you have a team coming off a win, so they're fired up. They're, hey, we're pretty good. We're going to make a run at this thing. And then you got a team that's been sitting. And you never know quite how a team's going to react after they've been sitting. You think it's a good thing. Normally you fight like hell for that bye week, but then maybe it works against you somehow. Who knows?
Yeah, I think that's actually a pretty good point. The teams that come into the playoffs as a 6 seed traditionally are teams that have to get on a roll late in the year to play their
right.
way in.
That's right.
And because they've
there
got
go.
A little of that momentum going, that's what makes it a very difficult matchup for some.
There you go. I think that's a perfect observation. I mean, you got Philip Rivers himself said, I think, on Sunday, we've been in the playoffs for 5 weeks.
That's right.
We've had to win every week.
Yeah. Patriots could even say that over the last month of the season.
Mm-hmm.
They're kind of in that mode still at this point. So I give them a great puncher's chance. Well, certainly they won out there the last time they played.
I was just about to say, they do have a win out there, so the Broncos will not intimidate them in the least. And when you consider that the Broncos arguably are already weaker now defensively than they were the last time they played the Chargers, then sure, they've got better than a puncher's chance, absolutely.
Well, I think it's going to be a great weekend, and I like the Pats' chances to win. I think the Colts have basically shot whatever, you know, their bullets are empty. They're out of bullets.
Well,
I think they.
I'll just caution you on this. The team that won the Super Bowl last year, everybody said that about them after they won their first big playoff game.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's true enough too. I do think the spikes thing is not going to be a big. I don't see us facing a big inside runner that you would need us. You would really like to have spikes for.
Yeah, I kind of agree with
until
that.
Until if we do make the Super Bowl and you're playing Marshawn Lynch, let's say, hypothetically, mm-hmm. then, yeah, you'd like to have spikes for that game. But, you know, we'll cross that bridge if we get to it.
Yeah.
But until then, I think you're looking at a lot of teams, the teams that are left in the AFC, that really nobody has that big back inside the tackles on any of these teams.
Yeah.
So maybe this was the right time to sit spikes, and I think he's had a good year. He's been playing through some things. Maybe you can do something else with the roster, than have an injured or banged up spikes out there playing linebacker and chasing people around. So,
all right,
probably a good move to sit him.
Okay, good stuff.
Yeah, I kind of agree
with Al
on
that. Take care, fellas. Have a great week.
Thanks, Al. I kind of agree with that. Spikes hasn't been that much of a difference maker to me all year that his loss is going to be devastating.
We've had this conversation numerous times this year, and one of the guys, if you look to quote-unquote disappointments on either side of the ball, Spikes' name is a name that has come up as much as any individual players at all this entire season on the Patriots roster. And it's usually Spikes and Hightower or Hightower and Spikes in terms of disappointments. They should be better. They can't cover. They can't do this. They can't do that. And our basic premise has been, well, I think part of that is because they're being asked to do different things that they may not really be as adept at doing. And a lot of that has been because of some of the injuries to players that play around them. And now I find it curious as we kind of deal with the whole Brandon Spikes issue and getting put on the injured reserve list yesterday, I kind of find the timing of the announcement curious. Did he do something in practice last week that caused this to happen, or was this just a delay for some unknown reason?
It's possible he could have done something in practice, but it's also I think it's more likely that he's been playing on this for so long that maybe it just got to the point where
it's time to do something about it.
Yeah, he's going to be more of a detriment than a benefit to us, so we might as well just cut our losses.
Boy, though, I mean, I actually, you know, Al made a good point. You don't really need him right now in the AFC playoffs, but if you're able to get into the Super Bowl and you are facing the Seahawks, it would be nice to have somebody with some stout size to him that can help plug a hole.
Stick Dante Hightower in there.
Oh, they will be, but I'm just saying, you know, it's. I just found the timing of this very curious.
I kind of did.
Why wouldn't
they
have done this a week ago or
a
2 weeks
ago
or a month ago? Why?
I don't know.
I mean, if they really didn't think this was going to get any better, the timing of the matter is just really what perplexes me.
It's a little funny. I agree.
I mean, he couldn't have sucked it up for 3 more weeks to get through the playoffs?
Maybe. But I mean, maybe the fact that he's played on it has, worsened his condition to the point, like I said, where maybe last week in practice they realized he's not going to be of any use to us. I don't know. It's hard to say because, you know, during the bye week you're not required to submit an injury report, so we don't know what his status was, what might have happened.
Right.
You know, who knows?
And we don't really even know whether or not he re-injured himself last week, technically.
No, we don't.
I want to read this email real quick here from Brian in Essex, Vermont, who disagrees with you. He says, it's entirely unfair to have such high expectations year in and year out for the Patriots without taking into consideration the pitfalls this team has run into this season specifically. I personally think this is one of BB's best years, and while I'm not surprised they reached the playoffs because the AFC East isn't exactly hugely competitive, I do think it's been a great season, a test of resiliency and mental fortitude from a team that literally loses a Pro Bowler every 5 snaps. It does seem like that. It's absolutely insane to have Pro Bowl or bust expectations for this year. I'm proud they got the second seed, and unless they get blown out against the Colts, I consider this year a great learning experience for the rookies. I'm looking forward to next year when the receivers are healthy, when Gronk gets back, whenever that may be, and when all the defensive pieces are healed. Any success from here on out is gravy for me. Now, why do I expect that this is the exception rather than the rule among Patriots fans?
Because most people have a clear definition of success. Those things that Brian just mentioned are positive takeaways for sure. Rookie development, you know, the Belichick and coaching staff getting the most out of their players. Those are all positives that you can look back afterwards and say, yeah, you know, there were some good, you know, it wasn't entirely bad season. We have some things we can be proud of. Certainly. Absolutely. That does not define success. Success means to succeed, means not to fail. And in sports, you succeed by winning a championship. Lack of winning a championship is not success.
Are you applying this to just the Patriots this year? Are you applying this blanket to anything in sports?
I apply that to anything in sports. If you don't if you don't go into every season saying, we're going to win every single game and win the championship, then you shouldn't be playing. You are not a competitor. If you don't go into every single game thinking, I'm better than that guy, I'm going to beat him, we're going to win this game. Mm-hmm. If you don't think that every single time you step on the court, you should not be playing sports.
But I think what you're doing, and I don't disagree with that.
Professional sports.
Yes.
I'm not talking about the, recreational.
Understood, because it's...
I'm talking about professional sports.
Right. But at the same time, even pros realize that, all right, we may not have what it takes to win that. That's not going to keep me from trying my best, because I am a pro and I am getting paid to play this game.
You know how big athletes' egos are. Even the guy who was just signed today, Reggie Dunn, probably thinks he's the best wide receiver that's ever played the game. Those guys have such enormous egos and are so competitive. They have to think every time they step on the field, they are the man. Because in high school, college, peewee, they were always the man. Now, when you get to the pros, everybody was the man. So everybody thinks that they're the best that's ever stepped on the field. If you don't go onto that field every single time and think you're better than the guy you're lining up against and that you should be winning this game, you don't deserve to be a pro athlete. If you don't make that happen, you have not succeeded.
Okay.
Period.
Okay.
End of story.
Is that looking at it from a player's perspective or a fan's perspective? Because I think from a player's perspective, I agree. From a fan's perspective, I couldn't disagree more. I think that success comes in relative terms and doses, especially when you have a franchise or a team that has been moribund for years and finally cracks through and breaks the playoffs. I mean, take the Kansas City Chiefs for instance. They won 2 games a year ago. And even though certainly it's disappointing that they lost once they got in, the fact that Andy Reid turned that team around and got them into the playoffs, you still have to look at it like it was a highly successful season.
I must be being picky with the words, because you know how I am with words. Success, words mean things. Success to me means something concrete. Going from 2-14 to whatever the Chiefs were this year, 11-5, mm-hmm. whatever, that's a positive development. That is not success. Success.
Oh, wow. Eric, being nitpicky here is what we're being.
It's Nitpick Tuesday.
We don't have anything else to nitpick on. We didn't have a game. That's right.
But that's, I mean, words do mean things. That's how I define, success means you either win or you don't.
All right. Well, you and I may have to agree to disagree on that one. Brian in Brighton, Mass. Help me out here. You're in the play.
Hey. Okay, Rook. I got to jump in on this, Eric, because, I mean, this conversation is going to flow into every other Patriots Online show at this point in time.
There aren't any of those.
I disagree in terms of the black and whiteness of your success is only championship. I mean, I think the biggest argument, I got two arguments for you against it. When your player analogy, some of these players, their success is signing that $100 million contract.
Yeah,
Okay.
Sure.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
That's a success too.
Fair point. Yes.
Yeah.
And also, in terms of grades, look at it this way: if you take a class, is it only a success if you got an A, or is a B sufficient?
Well,
is a B a failure?
In my journalism law class, I got an A, and I consider that the highest success of my academic career.
Yeah, having taught classes for a while, I'll tell you what. I mean, the B's are the worst students in that they want the A's, and the A's are happy, and the C's are happy.
Mm-hmm.
The C's consider it a success because they struggled to get that C, and they earned it, and that's a success.
That's actually you're right, Brian, and as a teacher, I can see that too. Every semester that I teach, usually the students that get C's are very happy with the C because it's either that or an F.
Yeah, yeah, They love it. They love it. They're proud of themselves. Mm-hmm. And I'm proud of them. I was always proud of them for earning it. I'm not going to answer the Deion Branch question because that's just ridiculous. I mean, I think I understand some fans, like, concerned that he has inside information and experience with the program and the system. But unless you start signing non-disclosure agreements, this is just how the NFL works.
Right, and it is a job, it is a profession, it is a business, and they're offering him an opportunity that the Patriots were not prepared to offer him, and frankly, I wish him very well. That's why I was really taken aback by some of the reaction that I saw on Twitter earlier today about, oh my goodness, he's a traitor, and you know, his legacy is forever tarnished, and I'm like, who the heck are you to say that? I mean, that actually upset me a little bit, and I don't get upset by too much.
Yeah, this is a job for these guys, and I mean, again, I'm one of the few people who has a bleeding heart for professional athletes because I feel bad for them that when you're 30, you're washed up. I mean, that's kind of tough to deal with, in my opinion, I would think.
You know what? That's an interesting point, Brian. That would be a great conversation, I think, for a slow day to talk about, you know, when you're 30 years old, you're washed up, you need to retire, you're out of business, you can't do it anymore.
Would John Elway agree with that, you think?
Probably not. Okay. But you know what I mean. Generally speaking, guys, when they hit the north side of 30, they don't have it much anymore, Eric, and you know that.
No, I know
especially
that.
In this sport.
No, I know that. I know that.
So, okay, yeah, let's not take it off on a tangent then. I apologize.
No worries.
So,
we do that.
Let me just quickly give you my opinion on the success.
Go.
I got a curveball for you. I consider the season a success based upon the injuries, the whole turnover situation, everything that's gone on. I'm very happy with this team. Stayed competitive, got a number two seed. Hopefully it'll go further, but I'm very happy. I had a very entertaining season. I mean, it was, and I agree, there's no way I call this a blowout. If you've watched the past this season, there's no way that I'll ever call a blowout against anybody. Now, everything's a success for me up until now, but if we make it into the Super Bowl and we lose there, then I'll call it not a success because I'm sick of going into the Super Bowl and losing.
Well, I don't know that you can have that kind of a double standard.
Yeah, that is the
That's a kind of a double
dictionary
standard,
definition
Brian.
Of a double standard. You're trying to have it. You're trying to have it all every way, and you can't. Either it is a success for winning the Super Bowl, or it's not. You got to pick a side. Pick a side. Stop sitting on the fence because you're going to get a pole jammed up your backside.
All right. Well, that's my opinion.
All right.
Take it or leave it.
You got it.
That's actually your opinions. You have two
opinions.
Different ones.
That's right. It's okay. That's fine, Brian. You can have your opinions, but really, you can't have it both ways.
No, you can't.
You got to pick one or the other.
You can't. And again, people, listen to what I'm saying. You can be proud of positives that you take out of a season. That doesn't make it a success. You can be proud of winning 12 games.
Yeah, but
you can be proud of your rookies. You can be proud of
success,
that they
though.
Won
however,
games.
I think success can be defined different levels of success. It doesn't have to be ultimate success. There are different levels of success. There are some levels of success that are greater than others. There's no doubt about that. But it still qualifies as a success by the literal definition of the word. Success doesn't mean ultimate success. By your definition of success, you should preface that with the word ultimate. And no success is ultimate unless you're the last man standing.
Correct.
That would be ultimate success, not just the success. Ultimate success. There's a difference, and that's what you're not realizing.
I'm trying to see your point. No.
Yeah.
No. Don't go celebrating. You have no success to celebrate over there.
Oh, no. My success is your silence.
No. I'm trying to see.
Come on, give it up.
Boy, he won't shut up. He's acting like he just won the Super Bowl over there.
Yeah.
I'm trying to see your side of things.
Okay.
I really am trying to.
Fair enough.
That's why I'm being silent. I'm trying to digest what you're saying. See, unlike most people out there, I actually listen to other points of view, absorb them, and then decide if they're right or wrong.
Okay, that's a good point. That's actually a good point. I'll give you credit for that one.
I still haven't decided if you're right or wrong.
I love it.
But at least I do listen.
I love it. Frank in North Dakota. Frank, you're in the playbook. Thanks for hanging in.
Hey, thank you, guys. Love your show.
Thank you.
You guys got a lot of cold weather coming your way. It was 46 below zero.
We already have it.
Sunday.
Oh, my God. We got it right
now.
We
have it right now.
I'm looking at my phone that gives me the weather update here. Right now, yeah. it's a balmy 18 with a feel-like temperature of 2.
Hmm. I'd give you anything for that, man.
Well, I know. Listen, you're the one in North Dakota, not me.
We woke up to single digits today. We had 50 degrees in fog yesterday. We woke up to single digits today. and a coating of snow on the ground.
And day before yesterday, when it was 50 yesterday, day before, I woke up to -9. Mm. Okay?
Oh,
minus
boy.
9. So that's pretty bad for around here, even, Frank.
And it's going to be 50 back on by Saturday when we kick off.
Right.
I got cousins in Connecticut and Maine. My mom's family's all from Maine, so that's where my roots are. But anyways, I think the Colts will have a problem adjusting to that level of cold coming out of a dome. We know dome teams don't have much as far as tenacity. You know, they're not used to those conditions.
Yeah, I think you can make some of those arguments based on history. I would tell you that, for some reason or another, I'm not convinced that the Colts are a traditional dome team. I mean, you know, frankly, you have to give the Saints a lot of credit for what they came out and did this last week against Philadelphia, too. That doesn't mean that
what the Niners did in Green Bay.
Niners did in Green Bay, yep. and the Niners aren't what you'd call a traditional cold weather team. So I guess I'm a little leery. I think I'm hopeful.
What the Chargers did in Cincinnati,
That's true. I'm a little leery of that particular factor being a factor in this game, although I guess I'm hopeful that maybe it will be. Maybe they will shoot themselves in the foot. And if it is wet, as we expect it could be again on Saturday night, then that's the deciding factor because, you know, Andrew Luck does have a penchant for throwing the ball into tight spaces sometimes, then he gets picked off. And if the Patriots are in position to do that or pick up a fumble or two, then the Patriots can make a quick work of it on Saturday night if they're able to force turnovers.
Yeah, right. I got a good quote for you regarding winning. Tom Landry coached the Cowboys for forever, 20 straight winning seasons from 65 to 85, and he said, quote unquote, I don't believe I would enjoy the profession if I thought I was always a winner. I believe it's the chase and it's the challenge that's important more than the winning.
And he did it at a very, very high level, as you just said, for a long, long time. And I'm a huge Dallas Cowboy and Tom Landry admirer, especially for that very reason. And I think that philosophy in and of itself, Frank, and I'm very happy that you brought that up in this conversation because that's really helped define me as someone who's been involved in sports for his entire professional life. The chase. The chase and the challenge is what gets me up every morning. The chase and the challenge is what tries to motivate myself from within to be a better person, to be a better broadcaster, be a better host, be a better father, you know, a better mate, a better anything in life. The chase and the challenge. And I don't necessarily have to win to consider myself successful, although everybody wants to win, but that's the ultimate prize. That's the ultimate prize. And I think I've won already, Frank, because I have 2 healthy kids and I have a beautiful woman by my side. So I'm definitely a winner.
Hey, God bless. That's great. John Madden always said he felt if he got to the playoffs, he was doing his job. And, you know, 102 games in 10 years he won. So I always thought he had a pretty good yardstick. And coaching for Al Davis could not have been easy.
You're absolutely right about that. And I actually think a lot of coaches would agree with that, Frank. I think a lot of coaches think, you know what, it's just my job to get into the tournament. That's what we're paid to do. We need to be in the postseason because if we're in the postseason, we are relevant. And this is all about relevancy in this day and age of parity in the NFL because anybody conceivably can win in this tournament. And we're seeing that happen already.
Yeah, game plan for one game, 1 week, and that's it. And that's all Belichick sees right now. And he's a master at the one-game season. So,
very good. Frank, stay warm in North Dakota, will you?
Hey, Happy New Year, guys. Thanks.
Thank you. You too.
Happy New Year. Some very interesting points. We'll continue with this topic and this line of conversation in hour number 2 in the playbook here. Plenty of time for you to jump aboard. 855-PATS-500. That's the toll-free number, 855-PATS-500. Ace Ticket Hotline 508-298-0398. Want to hear from you on the email, webradio@patriots.com, or hit me up on Twitter @JRBroadcaster. Facebook is John.Rook. I'm actually pleasantly surprised to hear that there are varying degrees of success, at least from those who have thought enough to respond thus far in the program. I want to know if there are others out there. And I'm really, if you feel like the Super Bowl is the ultimate and that if this season is not a success to you unless they win it, I want to hear from you. And I want to know why. So that's coming up in hour number two. But before we get there, we do have, of course, our normal line of business to take care of at this time.
I'm going to admit I'm late because I'm trying to fix the call screener.
Oh, is it? It's not working?
Notice my butter knife here.
You're using a butter knife to cut through cable?
No, for a screwdriver.
Oh, nice. Oh. Well, that's typical.
I thought he was trying to play the violin with a butter knife.
That's what I thought, too.
Because we don't really have... I mean, he's a one-man orchestra back there at this point.
One-man band, one-man orchestra, and one-man flute player.
Pulling it off, though.
Ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, it's time to pull up your britches, put on your Argyle sweaters, puff on your corn cob pipes, and gather round the fire for Eric Scalavino's Word of the Day.
Anything to have to do with success today, Eric?
I'm going to make this short, keep this brief. Word of the day is laconic.
Laconic. Okay, not iconic, but laconic.
Yes.
Okay.
Have I given you any hints at all as to what laconic means?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Short, sweet, and to the point.
Basically, yes. Well done. First time I think John's ever gotten a word of the day.
Oh, that hurts.
That is the definition of success, my friends.
That hurts. I'm laughing, but it still hurts.
Yes, laconic can be brief, concise, to the point. You
short,
said
sweet, short and sweet, to the point.
Almost even, there's another layer of meaning there, too, that it could also be that you're trying to be intentionally so to be sort of mysterious.
Mysterious.
And the other meaning is that you're intentionally using as few words as possible to say as much as possible.
Which you've done a pretty good job with today.
I try.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Pretty good job.
Also means someone from Laconia is a laconic.
Laconia?
No, I'm kidding. That's not one of the definitions.
It's a laconic. I like it. All right.
Had you known that word before?
Yeah, actually, I'd heard that word before. Mm. In fact, I think that might have been the reason that I got it right is probably it was on my SAT test about 40 years ago.
Really?
For some reason, that's just one of those stupid things
in your memory?
Sticks in your mind, that sticks in your memory.
Clear as day.
Yeah, I don't know why. I can't explain it. There are very few things about that day and age in my life that I really remember succinctly. Uh-huh. That happens to be one of them. I don't know why. Don't ask me why.
Back, and I can say this too, when the SATs were a total of 1,600,
mm-hmm.
800 verbal, 800 math.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're 2,400?
2,400
with another, now. What's the other 800 for?
It's a writing implement now. You got math, you got English, and I believe there's a composition part of it now. Yeah.
Wow.
So, which I think I would have loved because I could always, you know, spin a yarn. So I was really good at blue book exams.
You were a BSer is what you're saying.
I was a great BSer. Professors loved me because I could go and I could fill up the blue book and they would
funny,
say,
you
okay,
ended up becoming a radio talk show host.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that amazing? I could just go. Absolutely. I remember that's exactly why I got hired at ESPN Radio years ago. The program director at the time is a gentleman by the name of Len Weiner, who's now in Tampa running
Weiner,
radio stations.
Guy running a radio station.
I know.
Oh,
isn't that great? And he's running a group of radio stations in Tampa, Florida right now. And Len told me that he had his secretaries and he did his search on talk show hosts primarily, but he was looking for talk show hosts that were primarily play-by-play guys. And the reason he told me and he found me was because play-by-play guys, you just flip on a switch and they can go. And that's what I'm looking for. I need somebody that can, you know, make a cogent argument, fill time, make an argument, can go when there's very little else to talk about, can just talk about anything.
That's what I'm pipes.
Right.
Generally.
That's what you're looking for. Mm-hmm. And so that's literally how I got my start on the national level.
Wow.
Shocking, isn't it?
No, not really. Knowing you as I do, yeah, no, I mean, that fits you, that suits you perfectly.
Why do I get the sense that is a backhanded compliment?
Not at all.
In the best order.
Absolutely not.
No?
A backhand. No. No, I mean, that is a genuine front-handed compliment.
Okay. All right. Don't you have some writing or something to go to?
Wow. Oh, John's mad at me.
No,
now.
No, I'm not mad at you. How could I get mad at you? Jeez. No, never. We have a good time in here. All right. We'll take a break here. We're going to come back and continue with the thought process. Two lines of thought here that I want you to deal with here today. Number one, Number one, do the Patriots have to win the Super Bowl for you to term this season a success?
Yes.
See, now he's got to get the last word in, too. Do they have to win it, and why? Are there varying degrees, or are you like Eric? It's all or nothing. That's number one. Number two, are you upset that Deion Branch has signed with the enemy? He didn't just sleep with the enemy. He's flat out signed with him. He's earning money from the enemy this week. Any concerns about that as well? Inside the Playbook, coming up.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go. Go. That's it. Come on. Kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call ** NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest prices on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochet. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Hey guys, I never really got football, but ever since my parents switched to Verizon Fios, I'm a total expert. Fios internet is super fast, so I can stream football movies, download highlights.
Hey, sweetie, I need help with my fantasy lineup.
Dad, I'm doing my video blog.
Sorry.
Anyway, with Fios, the TV picture is crystal clear, so not now. Listen, Fios is 100% fiber optic, so everything's faster than ever, which leaves me time to do other things, like hanging that do not disturb sign on my door.
Upgrade your game this holiday season. Switch to a Fios Triple Play online for just $79.99 a month guaranteed for the first year, plus a $300 holiday bonus with a two-year agreement. Visit gottogetfios.com today for America's fastest, most reliable internet. Technology that lets you rise to greatness. That's powerful. Price is $89.99 a month for months 13 to 24. Rate may increase after 2 years. Verizon Visa prepaid card issued by MetaBank member FDIC. Fios available in select areas. Limited time offer for new customers subscribing to a triple play bundle online with a two-year agreement and ends 1/18/14. Taxes, fees, RSN fee, and other terms apply.
The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store. Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected. Have a nitpick about this week's game?
Yeah, I was at the game.
Well, John does too.
Sucky, sucky, sucky.
It's Nitpick Tuesday on Patriots Playbook with John Rook on Patriots.com Radio.
Even though we didn't have a game this past week, it is still Tuesday, technically, as Eric Scalabino so correctly pointed out. And so, in that regard, Nitpick Tuesday still prevails here. If you have some nitpicks, and we've kind of given you a couple of subjects that you can really nitpick on today, well, now's the time to nitpick, and let's hear from you. 855-PATS-500, toll-free number, Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398, web radio at patriots.com on the email at JR Broadcaster is the Twitter address, or John.Rook on Facebook. A couple responses from Facebook thus far. Our friend Mary Beth in Syracuse says, Deion Branch, really? Do Pats fans think they should prevent a guy from a paycheck? I also believe it will have no effect on the outcome of the game. And I get the sense that that's probably more the mainstream point of view. Although, since I brought it up, I have not yet had a chance to hear. Let's put it this way. I haven't heard from anybody who complained earlier. Since I brought it up, somehow the complainers that Deion is a traitor have disappeared. Why is that? I mean, it's okay to have an opinion. We don't have to agree with you. You don't have to agree with me. In fact, I would say the majority of people who actually pick up the phone to talk probably don't agree with me. My goal as a talk show host, or as a communicator, as a broadcaster, is to try to enlighten the conversation, to maybe bring out a point of view that you hadn't considered, so that we can have a conversation, we can talk about it, we can have some fun doing it in the same time. You don't have to agree. But as someone who's always enjoyed a good debate, I love trying to make people see my point of view. Now, sometimes I'm not successful. In fact, you know, I have a lot of my friends tell me that I'm not successful a lot of the time, because a lot of times I let my emotions get in the way, and I probably don't do as clear a job of thinking about it as I really should be. But if I come in prepared, I come in gassed, I come in geeked, I'm ready for the argument, I'm ready for the fight, I'm ready for the challenge, if you will, then I enjoy a good challenge, because I do consider that a success, by the way. Whether I win or not, I consider success as long as I engage, as long as I enlighten, maybe do a little entertaining along the same lines, and as long as I have fun, then shouldn't it be considered successful? And that's really kind of how I look at the entire Deion Branch story. I mean, is he having fun? Maybe he wasn't having the fun that he wanted to have. Maybe he missed football, and this was a chance for him to get back in and do some football. Sure, he had a great career here. Sure, he meant a lot to a couple of the Super Bowl wins here. There's no doubting that. But just because he's decided now to, and it's not even so much the paycheck. I mean, how much money does he really need? If he's done okay for himself, and I'm sure Deion did, and he hasn't, you know, gone bankrupt or something over spending a lot of money needlessly, then he's probably pretty well off. He's probably got himself in pretty fair stead, and he doesn't really need the paycheck. He's doing it because he wants to have something to do. He's doing it because he wants a challenge. Hello? If we all rate ourselves as successes by the challenges that are presented to us, maybe he feels like he needs the challenge. And what better challenge does there exist on this planet than someone telling you, you cannot do it anymore? Doesn't that just kind of get your blood boiling? And maybe that's what it is for Deion. So it's hard for me to, deny anybody that. And I do not believe it destroys his legacy here. Far from it. It might even enhance it. And for those of you who will boo Adam Vinatieri, you know, when I announce his name on Saturday night and there will be boos, all I can tell you is I don't know what you're doing. And this is part of where Eric in the opening hour of the program today was absolutely 110% correct. You think that once a player comes to New England, he should never move on with his life. That once he's done in New England, that's it, he's done. Actually, maybe that's because in a lot of ways, a lot of players don't really amount to much once they leave here. And frankly, I think you can look at that in all the four major pro sports, you know, football, basketball, baseball, hockey, here in New England. It's rare that one of our ex-Patriots, if you will, goes on and has success elsewhere. A lot of success. It doesn't mean it doesn't happen, because it does, but it's rare. Adam Vinatieri is one of those that has gone on to a pretty fair amount of success. Another Super Bowl championship, in fact, if you want to measure ultimate success, as we were talking about with Eric in the opening hour of the program today. He won a Super Bowl ring with the Colts. And yet there's still going to be Patriot fans who will boo him, even though he's largely responsible. Largely responsible. Along with TB12, certainly. And Bill Belichick, absolutely. But then you have to put Adam Vinatieri out there as well for those three Super Bowl wins. They haven't won one since he's been gone, have they? That's all I'm saying. And yet you're going to boo him. And many of you will boo him. And you have no idea what you're even booing. You just don't know. That's how I kind of look at it. Sean on Facebook says, hey, John, my view for this season, to me, is a success if we get to the Super Bowl or not. Okay. When I look at this team with all the challenges they have had to work through, such as dealing with the Hernandez debacle, working in new receivers, injuries, etc., overcoming all those challenges and getting to a 12-4 record and getting to the second seed is pretty good when a lesser team would have crumbled. I think the Pats will take care of business against the Colts this Saturday, but I'll save my score for prediction Thursday. Attaboy, Sean. As far as Deion Branch goes, I don't mind where he plays. If the Patriots would have called, he would have been there for them as well. Besides, I'm sure the chance for another Super Bowl ring is tempting. So I will just wish him the best. Have a good one. That is a very well thought out, well reasoned, answer, Sean. But it's appropriate because it's spot on. It absolutely is. Now, you may have a different one. You may have a different reason. And like I said, before we took the break, I would really love to hear, and it's not because I'm going to hammer you. I'm not. I want to hear why you're upset with Deion Branch. Why? It's all I want to know is why. Why? Why are you upset with Deion Branch? Maybe I can help talk you through it. Maybe I can help you deal with the inevitability. I mean, he's not a Patriot any longer. Why are you upset, if you are? Why are you upset with Deion Branch? Curious. Webradio at patriots.com, 855-PATS-500, at JR Broadcaster and John.Rook on Facebook. Let me get to this email. This one comes from Josh in Orlando. It says, if a team does better than the year before, it would be considered a success. Patriots express how difficult it is to just win games. To win a Super Bowl is the goal or a bonus. So I would say it's more of a disappointment. As long as you're moving forward to reach your goal, either this year or the future, that's what teams look for. So to me, just getting to the Super Bowl this year would be a success. Winning it would be a bonus. Next year would be the year they're expected to win. P.S., as I mentioned earlier on PFW, Colts hired Branch to gather intel on the Pats. In reality, Branch is embedded Patriot feeding intel to Brady. Well, I think our friend Big Al in Valdosta, Georgia, suggested that. Let's spread the rumor that he's in there just getting intel for the Patriots. Josh says, my pick, the Patriots win, and they cover the seven-point spread. Don't be so sure about that, Josh. Don't be so sure about that. I don't think I'd go betting any mortgages or anything like that on that just yet, my friend. I hadn't considered that. He's a reverse spy. Not only is he in there to pick the brain or get his brain picked by the Colts, but now he's going to get some of the Colts info and he's going to give it back to Tom. That's beautiful. I like that. Give me a good conspiracy theory any day. Any day. I'll take it. Could be. Daryl on Facebook says, a success is the achievement of a goal. If your only goal is the Lombardi, well, then anything short of that is lacking in success. But I believe in degrees and shades. Considering the circumstances of this past year and the struggles they've endured, I already consider this season a success. I think we are capable of more success than this, though, and I will be disappointed if we don't advance deeper into the playoffs. Even if we do lose this weekend, I won't hang my head. We made it to the dance. We made it to the second round, and that's a successful season for this squad. Maybe I would add to that, Daryl, that's a successful season for this squad as it presently consists. Only because if you're in the second round of the playoffs and you have Vince and you have, Gerard and you have, Gronk, arguably the three biggest losses this team has suffered this year, then if you lose in the second round, you're not going to consider this season a success. You're going to consider it an overwhelming disappointment. I don't know if you consider it a failure. An abstract failure would be not making the playoffs with that kind of a roster. But yes, as the squad presently consists, yeah, this is a success. There's no other way to look at it. Again, I'm going to go back to a point that we've been hammering home throughout this entire season. 2 years ago, this was the second oldest team, top to bottom, age-wise in the NFL. This year, it has the second amount of first and second year players of any team in the league, rendering it one of the youngest teams in the NFL. In other words, take all the first and second year players, add them up together, it's number two in the NFL. And so because of that, and because of where this team is, the youth and the overcoming of the injuries, which ostensibly means a lot of this youth is learning and on trial by fire basis, absolutely, this is a success. It's a success. Will you be disappointed? Yes. Will I be disappointed? Of course. It's still a success, any way you look at it. Again, success is a success is something that is defined by different measures, as Daryl pointed out. And he says, as far as Branch goes, I think the timing of it is what stings. If this had happened a month ago, hell, even before the wild card round, it wouldn't have been so bad. I don't hate him, and I won't boo him. I just won't wish him any success or expect him to do much on the field. Now, that's actually probably, Daryl, the absolute right stance to take as far as a guy like Deion Branch is concerned. And I hope that your comments are the mainstream. And again, I'm still waiting to hear from somebody who doesn't like it. I'm not getting that just yet. Doesn't mean that you're wrong. I would just like to know why you feel like that. There's no right or wrong answer here. I'm just trying to get behind the thought process here because, there was a lot of vitriol on Twitter about it earlier today, and I'm kind of like, why? It was enough to make me consider this as a topic for the show today. I'll put it to you that way. I thought it was sort of a, hey, guess what? Deion Branch got a job. Woohoo! Good for Deion. Let's move on. That was my initial reaction to it. My right eyebrow raised a little bit, and I'm thinking, well, good for him. He got a job. He missed football. He wants back in. That's great. It is a little bit quirky, a little bit funny that happens to be joining the team that the Patriots are playing this week. But my initial reaction was, okay, good for you. And then I saw some of the hate, probably a little strong. Let's just say displeasure with his signing with the Colts. Come out on Twitter today, and I'm like, really? Really? Now, was this just a vocal, I don't know, dozen or so, you know, Patriots fans on Twitter that were, you know, tweeting and retweeting? Or really, are there others who don't like this move and think that it will tarnish his legacy and are very much dyed-in-the-wool New Englanders? Anybody who dares go up against New England is no longer a Patriot. No longer a true Patriot. That's a little narrow cast, and it's a little narrow focused. I mean, that's a little too provincial, if you ask me. I mean, believe it or not, there is another part of the world besides New England. I mean, I realize a lot of us choose to live here, and I think that's a great thing, but there's a lot to like about other places in the country. There's a lot to like, and there's a lot to like about other opportunities that don't exist here for whatever reason for him. And so he's decided to step out and try to find and try to take advantage of that opportunity. That's all he's doing. This goes beyond just, oh, it's a paycheck for him. I mean, he doesn't need to be on the unemployment line. I think he's fine. I think he's okay. He wants to be involved in football. Maybe he misses the chase. Maybe he misses the challenge, as we pointed out earlier. Maybe this is his best and only chance to get another ring. And what player doesn't want a ring? Honestly, those players, if they exist in the NFL, they don't belong in the NFL, because these guys, they're all going to get paid a relative amount. They're all going to get paid pretty well, even from, you know, the superstars right down to the practice squad players. They get paid pretty well to play a game. This is all about the bling, the jewelry, the hardware, the legacy. This is all about, can I be considered a Super Bowl champion? Am I the quote-unquote ultimate success, as we've been talking about today as well? That's what this is all about, ultimate success. And he wants a shot at it. Who can blame him? Who can blame him? All right, back to the emails here. Dennis from Providence says, everyone talks about Welker leaving, but no one gives any love to Woodhead. He has been the best free agent pickup this season. That's one guy I wish was still in New England. Interesting point. He scored a touchdown, this last week for San Diego. He's been a very key cog in San Diego's somewhat miniaturized backfield. We say this only because we love. Frankly, I'd love to see that. But you know what, though? Here's a good Zen question for you. Let's just say... Let's just say San Diego beats Denver, and the Patriots win, and so San Diego comes here the following week, next weekend, for the AFC Championship. Perish the thought. I just jinxed it, right? Quick, knock on wood. Reverse whammy. Okay, it's all over now. But if that did happen, will you boo Danny Woodhead? He wasn't a part of a Super Bowl team here, was he? No. Super Bowl champion team, anyway. No. What did he do in the offseason? He left for a better opportunity because the Patriots didn't feel like they wanted to pay him what he could go out and get elsewhere. And he did that. That's what free market status will do for you. Free agent status will do. It allows you to go out and test the market and see what you're worth. And he actually got more money or a better deal, so he thought, from San Diego. And perhaps he did that. Why do I get the impression that Danny Woodhead wouldn't get booed, that people would love the guy? Why is that? Is it because he's the ultimate underdog, because he's such a little dude? I mean, he did have some good success, but it certainly wasn't ultimate success while he was here. But does he come here next week and get booed when we announce his name? Nope. I don't think so. I don't think so. Why? Why? Why is that? If anything, he's the one that should be booed, because he didn't bring this team any victories. Or any ultimate victories. Strange. It's just strange how we can kind of pick and choose, who we feign loyalty to. It's bizarre. Steve and Colleen says, first, John, the Branch deal is business. In the big picture, I am happy that he has been able to return to the game he loves, but any real impact? No, I don't think so. With Spikes out, I still think the Pats handle business and get the win over the Colts based on the running game, special teams play, and the old dink and dunk making a comeback with TB12 playing lights out. Plus, the D harassing Luck just enough to keep him off balance. This one will be a close game and hopefully well played by the Pats. So to quote T.O., get your popcorn ready. Finally, on the season, it has been a good one, but I come down on the side of having missed two Super Bowl wins by a play that the Pats are due. And to win it with this team of next men up would be the perfect end to a currently incomplete story. Keep up the great work. And he says, P.S., enjoy the turkey. Hopefully the doubters of the Patriots will be eating crow after this weekend. Thank you, my friend Stephen Killeen. Yeah. Well, success is relative. I think it's a good point. And I'm actually somewhat heartened to see so many people actually bring that up with your thoughts and your comments today here on the program. But the point that Steve brings up here of having missed two Super Bowl wins recently by just a single play, the Patriots are due. If they could win it with this team of full of next men up, guys that have had to be forced into prime positions because there's just nobody else left, and they've carried the team this far, if that team could win a Super Bowl, ultimate success. Winning the Super Bowl in its own right would be ultimate success, but that has to add something a little bit special to the entire mix, does it not? And that's why, short of it, yeah, we'd all be disappointed if this team loses on Saturday night and realize that it could very well happen. And we will certainly get into more of the X's and O's and the matchups over the Colts over the next 2 days here inside the playbook. However, taking the entire picture into consideration, I'm hard pressed to call this season a failure. I mean, if we're going for cold, hard facts here, like our friend Kerry Byrne always is in search of, if we're going for cold, hard football facts here, either success or failure, I still don't see how you can consider this season. If it ends this Saturday night, I don't know how you consider this season a failure. Ultimate success, no. But failure? Not buying it. Not when you consider the road traveled. Howard in Stratford, Connecticut. Obviously, the ultimate goal and achievement is to win the Super Bowl every year. I completely disagree with Eric that it is Super Bowl or bust. Only one team accomplishes that each year. That doesn't mean the other 31 teams were failures. No, probably 25 or 6 of them, maybe. When you begin the year, you need to define what success is based upon what has transpired over the offseason to the team's roster. Needless to say, with a double-digit number of rookies on the team and the tumultuous offseason, it is easy to understand why the doubters were out in force early on in this season, of which Eric was one. But with the Brady and Belichick duo in place, there is always the possibility they will overcome whatever obstacles are placed in front of them and compete for the division, which they did. I will put it this way. I don't think this season was a failure, as you and Eric are stating, by claiming it was not a successful year. Don't throw me in that boat. As previously stated, the ultimate goal is to win the Super Bowl, but there are numerous other goals prior to that. First, they must win the division. Pat successfully accomplished that. Next goal is a bye in the playoffs. Pat successfully accomplished that. Next goal would be to get to the AFC Championship game, then to the Super Bowl game, and then finally to win the Super Bowl, of course, yet to be determined. So overall, this will have been a successful year. Will it be as successful as I had hoped? That is yet to be determined. But to claim it is not successful is to state it was a failed year, and it was certainly not that by any stretch of the imagination. To suggest, as Eric has stated, that if you lose in the playoffs, it would be better off not to have made it, is simply ridiculous for the simple fact if you don't make the playoffs, you have absolutely no chance to win the Super Bowl. At least when you make the playoffs, you have a chance. Better to have a chance to go for the brass ring than not to have had a chance at all. And that was my point to Eric. The thrill is in the chase, and we also had that from a couple of callers earlier. The thrill is in the chase. The thrill is in the challenge. The thrill is in the hunt. And once you get there, sure, there's a feeling of satisfaction. But does that mean you're going to stop trying the next time? Of course not. And when you fall short of your goal the next time, is that going to keep you from getting back up and trying again? No, 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 no. Because the thrill is in the chase. That's the ultimate thrill. It may not be ultimate success, but it's the ultimate thrill. Howard says, Deion Branch, who cares? His knowledge of the Patriots' current O and tendencies is so limited, it's comical at best to think he will make a difference. Not to mention, if he does play, what has he got left in the tank? Not much is my guess. So you look at it somewhat indifferently, and I think that's fair enough to do. Fair enough to do. All right, Aaron says, John and Eric, I don't mind Deion playing for the opposing team. Who cares? Why berate the guy for making money and moving on with his career? I say good for him. Besides, he's got a family to take care of. I wish him all the best. I thank him for what he's done for us over the years. As far as the season goes, I would consider it a success, considering all the setbacks with injuries and negative media attention due to the Hernandez debacle. I think this season really shows the metal, M-E-T-T-L-E, metal of this team and organization as a whole. I'm not saying I want them to lose. I want a successful Super Bowl run, of course. We have Belichick and Brady, and we can never count that combination out. What's more, look at what Belichick's done with a team marred with injuries. He's a Coach of the Year candidate, in my opinion. Keep it up, fellas. Let's go, Pats. Thank you, Aaron. Juvenile says, I have to be honest with you and say that I am not a loyal listener. I do listen to PFW and really enjoy their show. My beef with your show is that there's too much negativity, like Nitpick Tuesday, especially after a loss. Well, let me address that for a moment. So you'd rather us wave the pom-poms, Juvenile? Really? Don't you get enough of that from Fred? And that's with all due respect. That's Fred, part of Fred's job. But, I mean, you'd really rather us do that? Wouldn't you rather have a dissenting point of view so you can make up your own mind? Or is your mind already made up? As a huge Patriots fan, he says, loss sure affects me all week long. The last thing I need is to rehash everything that went bad during the game. Well, okay, that's fair. I certainly understand that. But there are thousands that would disagree with you. And that's probably because you don't live in this area. That's just the nature of the beast as a New Englander. Same goes after a win. We don't have to go overboard with how well they played. I understand you have an opinion to voice, but at the beginning of the year, you did not think this team would go this far, both of you. No, that's not true. Eric and I both thought this team would get into the playoffs. Okay? And that's where they are. I actually did think that this team had an opportunity at 11-5 or 10-6, 11-5 is where I thought they'd be. I thought this team would have an opportunity to play into the bye, and they did. So they've actually reached where I thought they would be, very much so. So make sure you get your facts straight. Don't do it just to, you know, make your argument convenient here. He said, let's not forget how many injuries this team has had to deal with. Brady working with new receivers, rookies on defense, no-name players making plays. I do see this year maybe not as a success as we had hoped for, but what other team year in and year out gives their fans so much hope every game to the end? Well, I'm not sure I can answer that one, Juvenile. I would tell you that you'd have to ask fans of other teams. I'm sure that there are lots of teams, okay, not lots, several teams that do give their fans so much hope year in and year out. Baltimore would be one. The Colts, this week's opponent, that'd probably be another. Denver, absolutely. Every year they've got hope because every year they're competitive. If you want to talk to a fan base that's probably really disgruntled right now, Cincinnati might be a good start. Pittsburgh might be another one based on what's happened over the last couple of years. I mean, what is this now, 2-3 years in a row that they've missed the playoffs altogether? So, you know, you can go talk to them and see how they feel. He says, I live in West Palm Beach, and trust me, listening to the radio, these fans down here would love to just have one or two seasons like we've had with Bill and Brady. Absolutely. Absolutely. If you're talking about Dolphins fans in particular, yeah, why wouldn't they? They'd love to have it. I will always believe that we will win every game. That's why they play. Amazing. Nobody picked the Pats to beat the Ravens. They all hate us. That's all. Thanks for reading my email. Go Patriots. We true fans all believe. Thank you to Mr. Kraft. Very good. And I thank you for listening to the program. And I'm sorry you don't like the negativity, but you also have to understand if you actually took some time to listen to the show and to listen to Nitpick Tuesday, you realize that it's sort of a spoof on itself. It's sort of a tongue-in-cheek show. We do it because, A, a lot of New Englanders, because that's really the point of it all. New Englanders love to pick negativity. Don't you remember when Rick Pitino was on his way out as the president and guru of the Celtics, and he said, "And you know, all this negativity in this town sucks.
And all this negativity that's in this town sucks."
Thank you, Rick. See? And he was pissed off at New Englanders, at the fandom in general, because all they do is nitpick. And so that's why we came up with Nitpick Tuesday, so we could kind of spoof on that. We could kind of goof on it. We're goofing on ourselves here, Juvenile. Come on, get a clue. And then at the same time, yeah, we're actually providing, I believe, a legitimate service to people who need to vent. And New England fans need to vent as much as any fan group needs to vent. And I think this we know. If you spend any time here and you're a fan of this team, you understand that, or at least you should understand that. People here take it as seriously as anybody in the country, and maybe more so, because there really isn't a collegiate theme here like there is in other pockets of the country. I mean, you know, we had a great national championship football game last night. Florida State and Auburn went right down to the wire again. It was a great football game. It'll go down as one of the best played. Right there with, you know, basically with the Texas-USC game, you know, in January of 06, you know, for the 05 title. Great game. You think anybody in New England really gave a you-know-what? No, because nobody here cares about college football. Nobody. They care about the Patriots, the Sox, the Celtics, and the Bruins. That's what they care about. They don't care about the college teams. Nobody does. Except for just a few minute pockets, maybe, of basketball and a little bit of hockey here. No, there's nothing collegiate going on in New England. And that's just a byproduct of this being a professional area. That's all it is. And so this area has a different mindset than any other area I've traveled to or lived in this country and had a chance to work in this country. I mean, this takes sometimes angst and hate and displeasure and a lot of things to a different degree. Maybe that's just a byproduct of being in the Northeast, because New Yorkers are like that a lot. Philadelphians are like that a lot. Hey, even Chicagoans are like that a lot with their sports teams. But there's also a different side to even fans in those markets, because they've got something nice and collegiate about, or collegial about, their particular areas. Plus, they all have, you know, good sized, you know, college sports teams to root for in those areas as well. And there ain't anything like that in New England. The Pats is all we got. It's all we got, brother. Sean says, "Hi, Eric. If winning it all in sports is the only real success, then why do they have silver and bronze medals in the Olympics?" This is a good email. We need to save this for him. In the 2010 Winter Olympics, Canada won 14 gold medals, which was the most of that color. The U.S. won the most overall medals with 37. Then by your definition, Eric, Canada was the best country in those games. Is that true? That's good. That's good. We got to save that one for him. Don't biff that one. We got to ask him that tomorrow. Okay? We're going to ask him that one tomorrow, Kev. Scott in Virginia. Having watched the Boston Patriots play at Fenway Park and Schaefer Stadium and suffering through innumerable losing seasons, this year has to be viewed as a success, especially given how the cards were stacked against them even before the first snap. Gronk's carryover injury, jail for unnamed players, groin injuries for replacement receivers, and the continuous drip, drip, drip of ever more damaging injuries throughout the season. Couple that with the dismal early season play of the rookies. Considering all the year's adversity, this is without a doubt a successful season from this fan's perspective. A Super Bowl win would just be icing on the cake. As for Eric's position, he needs to go back in time and experience real dismal Patriots play. Let's all go back for a day, just a day, to the Rod Rust era. Right? Right? No doubt in my mind about that. Let's all go. I say that only because I did his coach's show that one year. Oh, my. He was such a good guy to deal with, too. Nice guy. I guess that was part of the problem. Maybe been part of the reason why they went 1-15. Whoa. Goodness. Yeah, I just sometimes we need a dose of reality. That was a dose of reality. John from Pennsylvania says, "In the beginning of the season, I really didn't expect much from the Pats this year. As a fan for over 30 years, because of those expectations, I haven't enjoyed more than a few seasons than I have this one. In my view, this season was a big success." Probably a good attitude to have. Again, you're trying to look at the big picture here, and when you consider... We consider a lot of things, but yeah, you start with the whole Hernandez fiasco, and you realize that that was going to rip your offense apart, and as well as, you know, families apart. You don't have Rob Gronkowski. You lose arguably one of your top running backs with a broken wrist, very first game of the year. You know, you're already kind of behind the eight ball in receiving targets because of the youth that you've already infused into this team. And it took a while for the meshing for Brady and Dobson and Tompkins and all those guys to get together. And Amendola got hurt in the opening game as well. And, oh, my goodness. I mean, we really don't have to go back that far. But if you want to go all the way back to the very first week of the season, good grief. This team has had a ton of adversity. Arguably as much as any team in the NFL, which is what makes this tournament now, these final eight teams out of 32 left in this tournament, eight teams left, the Elite Eight, if you will, college term. That's why it's so rewarding right now. And plus, look at the other seven teams on besides New England. Look at the other seven teams, and you tell me, really, who can you say is an overwhelming favorite? Is anybody? Don't say Seattle. Seattle's not an overwhelming favorite. Seattle just lost at home. The jury's still very much out on them in cold weather and in bad weather, which undoubtedly they're going to get a big dose of if they even make it that far. And, yeah, you know what? I give San Francisco a very good opportunity here. I absolutely give them a good opportunity. I don't know that it's going to get to be. I don't even know if they get by San Francisco. I don't know. I don't know that it's Carolina either. It's a toss up. That's my whole point. It's a toss up, and it's a toss up in the AFC. We look at it certainly from a Patriots, rose colored glass, but. You know, look at it. Look at the four teams involved in the AFC. Denver, certainly, yeah, Peyton Manning. But defense, what defense do they have? Who feels like the Patriots wouldn't score 30 on the Denver defense? Nobody. San Diego? Okay, well, they had to win, the last 4 weeks in a row before last week just to even reach the playoffs, and they needed help on top of that. Hey, you could make an argument that there's a couple of blown calls involved, one by an officiating crew, in a Pittsburgh game that could have allowed Pittsburgh to have that last spot and kept San Diego out. So they needed that luck to go along with them as well. Gosh. And then San Diego has taken full advantage of that, and they have ridden right into the equation, and they have got super momentum going. And I'm not dismissing their chances at all against Denver, especially since they've already beaten Denver this year. And then let's look at the Colts. Let's look at the Colts. Any team that comes from 28 points down in the third quarter, as this team did this weekend against Kansas City, better have your attention. Second greatest comeback ever in NFL playoff history. And if you saw that Buffalo Bill Houston Oilers game, you're old enough to remember it. That one just still blows me away. The Frank Reich special. I still had a hard time believing it. And that was 30 years ago. So, 38-10. And for the people that are saying, "Oh, this is going to be a blowout. The Patriots are going to win going away." Are you nuts? Really? Did you not just see what the Colts did this last weekend? And or you might say, "Well, the Patriots aren't Kansas City." You're right, they're not. Kansas City's not the Patriots either. But I'd say that you're not thinking clearly here where that's concerned. Yes, Indianapolis can win this game. Yes, Indianapolis may very well win this game. The Patriots have played it close all year long because that's just the nature of this team right now. Anything less right now at this stage is just, it's pure lunacy, really. David says the definition of success is the correct solution to an attempt. The attempt is to win as many games as possible to achieve playoff berth and ultimately the Super Bowl. Sure, we have been spoiled as fans in general as of late with all of the achievements made over the last decade in New England sports. I believe it's 8 championships in New England over the course of the last 12 years. It's a pretty good run. I think it might even be considered, an unprecedented run. Given that we're almost guaranteed a playoff berth in this decade, is anything less than a Super Bowl successful at this point, as long as they have Belichick and Brady? Now, that's kind of the question that Eric was asking. So it's interesting that you bring that up, David. And that's why we asked the question today. Is anything less than a Super Bowl a success at this point, as long as there's Belichick and Brady? And Eric's argument was no. because we do have Belichick and Brady. And so because we have Belichick and Brady, we should expect them to be where they are. But I think that's unnecessarily putting them up on a pedestal that, quite frankly, you know what? They're not superhuman, they're human. How many times have we criticized Bill Belichick for making coaching mistakes and or personnel mistakes? A lot. How much have I criticized Tom Brady this year? A lot. And yet they still find a way to win. Why? Because they're not doing it alone, folks. They're not doing it alone. No, see, the real reason behind the relative success of this Patriots team is not because Bill Belichick is still the coach and just because Tom Brady is the quarterback. It's because the next man up is having success. Now, fill in the blank with next man up. But filling in for Vince Wilfork, filling in for Gerard Mayo, filling in for Rob Gronkowski, filling in for Sebastian Vollmer, filling in now for Brandon Spikes. Everyone has managed to have some success this year. Everyone, not just one of them, not just two of them, every one of them. That's why this team is 12-4. That's why this team has won 5 straight AFC East titles. That's why this team is back where, you know, we think it should be. Yeah, Bill and Tom are the catalysts, no question. They're both Hall of Famers and will go down as such. They can't do it by themselves. And that's why Eric's opinion was a little narrow-sided. It takes Bill and Tom to kickstart it, but it certainly takes the other guys to see it through. Without a doubt. David also says, Branch, business period. And from his point of view, I don't see anything wrong with it. I'm sure the league as well and the radio stations love it because it gives us something to chat about while we anxiously await the indie game. Go Pats. That's probably also true. Let's breathe deep and enjoy the success of the Boston teams this year, says Drew in Bowie. I assume Bowie, Maryland. Sox championship, Bruins second overall last year. Division leader now. Pat's in it. Even the Celtics are in second place. That's a relative term. Now, see, I'm not so sure that you could consider the Celtics successful with a, 12-19 record? I hadn't even looked the last day or two. I think that's where they are. But, yeah, they're in second place in that sorry division. Okay, now back to the task at hand and kick some butt on Saturday. Brooklyn Matt says, you said Bill's Oilers game was 30 years ago. Whoa, Rook, hold your horses. It was 20. You want to age all of us by 10 extra years? Was it really just 20 years ago now? 90? Yeah, 92? Yeah, okay. Seems like 30, Brooklyn Matt. Seems a lot longer ago than that. Still, there'll be a lot of fans that won't remember that game. A lot of fans won't remember it at all. But they probably will remember it now that we had the game that we had on Saturday. So, you know, with the Colts and the Kansas City Chiefs, I was totally stunned. And in fact, watching the game as I did, I was just glancing at it. I was actually doing another project, working at my computer while I was on the road this weekend. I was in Philadelphia, and I wasn't even paying attention to the game. I was working on something else, and I happened to have my Twitter feed up. And all of a sudden, I saw this flurry of tweets come in about, whoa, Colts, whoa, Indy, whoa, here comes. You know, it was like, I think the last I looked was 38-17. I think that was the last time I looked. And I said, even though, you know, the Colts had scored, they're still down by 21 midway through the third quarter, and I'm not thinking much about it, right? And then when they scored again, then it was kind of like, whoa, maybe I ought to start paying attention. So I actually watched most of the fourth quarter, most of it, and just marveled. You could see the air come right out of the balloon that was Kansas City, and you could see the momentum just continue to steamroll behind Indianapolis, and that's what you have to be wary of this weekend. This Colts team, if the Patriots get up, this Colts team is not going to think that they are out of it by any stretch of the imagination. No, you have to realize that. It doesn't matter what the margin is. 38-10, 48-10, 58-10. They're not going to think they're out of it because now they've got a track record behind it. So anybody that thinks this game is not going to be close, you are nuts. You're nuts. The only way that it's not close is if the Patriots do something similar like they did against Baltimore, when Baltimore just basically gave up because they realized they were done for the year. So the Patriots got a couple of cheap scores late defensively. That's the only way this happens. Patriots are not going to blow off Indianapolis' doors based on offensive prowess alone. It's not going to happen. You got to give a little more credit, I think, to the Colts. Andrew Luck, short of Tom Brady, is probably one of the quarterbacks that most any team in the league and most any fan in the league would want to have on his team. No doubt. I mean, you know, if you don't have Tom Brady, who are the quarterbacks that you'd like to have in this league? Well, yeah, Luck would be one. Peyton Manning would certainly be another. Probably Manning over that. Aaron Rodgers would be another. And I'm sure there are two or three others. Drew Brees, absolutely. So there are some others that are out there, but Luck is in that conversation because he can be and probably will be, if he isn't already, one of those kind of quarterbacks. A franchise maker, a decision maker, a difference maker, an all-pro potential. Yeah, absolutely. That's certainly, you know, can't blame the Colts for making the move that they did a few years ago when they started to move away from Peyton Manning. Can't blame them. You'd have to say that ultimately the Colts were right. Denver got lucky. They still found a Peyton Manning that's out there that's got some juice left in the tank. And perhaps that's a conversation for this time next week. Brian on Facebook's going to get the last word here. He says, John, I don't blame Deion for signing with the Colts. I think the signing is for pure wide receiver depth for them. I've been reading a lot about people being upset because he will give away our secrets and offense to the Colts. But Deion has not been here since we reworked our offense. So how much of a factor will this be? I would have to think very little. Love to hear your input. Thanks. You know, at the beginning, when I first heard the story, and I heard, as I said earlier on Twitter today and read on Twitter today, you know, the anger that I got from some of the vitriol, I think is the phrase that I used, and I was surprised by that. I originally thought that, yeah, well, what would they use him for? They'd pick his brain, right? And then in talking to Eric in the opening hour of the program, and the more that I've sat here and thought about it through the course of this program, I'm thinking less and less that it's really for that. And I think that quite frankly, you, Brian, and some others have hit the nail on the head. Really, how much could he possibly give them? He might be able to give them some tendencies. He might be able to say, well, in the past, this is how he's worked, and this is what they've looked for in certain situations when presented with X or Y. But, yes, the offense has been reworked. And don't you think the Patriots are also probably aware of that? As Eric Scalavino told us in the opening hour, he was signed for one reason and one reason alone. He currently lives in Indiana. He's close by. He worked out for them earlier this year. They need a body. Period. End of discussion. And that if he's active for the game on Sunday, it'd be a flipping miracle because, quite frankly, he hasn't played a minute for anybody all year long. So it really kind of defies logic to think that he'll be anything more than a practice body this week for the Colts. Now, that doesn't mean he won't offer up if asked. But a guy like Chuck Pagano, who is the architect of some very good Baltimore defenses over the last few years, defenses that, as we pointed out earlier, had success against these Patriots, Chuck Pagano probably knows what's coming. The Colts probably realize what's coming. The Colts probably know what they need to prepare for, whether they have Deion Branch, you know, spilling any details or not. I tend to think that's probably closer to the truth rather than not. But I'm sure he'll cough up what he knows if he's asked. Because, after all, he will be a Colts employee, and that's what you do for your employer. You try to help him. You try to win. So for Deion Branch, you know, I pat him on the back and say, I'm glad you're back. I'm glad you're getting a chance to be in football again. If that's what you wanted, congratulations. I really thank you, you know, for the time that you spent here in New England and the great memories we have. You're part of some, you know, some super games and a Super Bowl MVP. And Deion, love you, but we're going to try to kick your butt on Saturday night. No offense, dude. Hope you're going home with your tail between your legs. That's kind of how I look at it. Thanks for everybody who took part in the program today. Thank you for your cards and letters and your phone calls. It's always good. Always good to hear from you whether you like us or not. We're glad you're listening. That's what it's all about. Tomorrow in the playbook, well, we're going to jump in a little bit deeper on the Colts. East Gal will be back with us. We'll hear more from the Indianapolis perspective. I'm sure we'll come up with something good that we can chat about. I'm sure there'll be something controversial we can talk about. It always happens at this time of year. It's the playoffs, baby. Things change. Nothing stays the same. One thing stays the same. Patriots are still in it. That's a good thing, right, Pats fans? Same Pats time, same Pats channel. Mañana.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
Pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome onto the program. Ron Jaworski, Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the Playbook. Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf,
CBS analyst. Randy Cross joins us here inside the Playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2.